this is an audio experience, but I was about to spit my coffee out when she's, I wasn't right-handed or left-handed. How'd you not know that?
Welcome to the Exploring Washington State podcast. Here's your host, Scott Cowan.
All right. Well, welcome back to this episode of the Exploring Washington State podcast. My guest today is Leah Rankin. Leah, I'm just going to shut up and ask you to explain to our audience who you are. It'll be easier than me trying to make stuff up. Who are you, Leah?
Sure. Thanks, Scott. I'm Leah, and I'm the president of Seattle Women's Hockey Club. Yeah.
Okay. She just paused. There's so much more to Leah than just the president of the Seattle Women's Hockey Club. So Leah, what's your backstory? How'd you get to Seattle? Because you're not a Seattle native. I know that. So where'd you grow up? What'd you do? How'd you end in Seattle?
Yeah. I'm not a Seattle native. I'm from Washington, D.C. originally. And then I moved out here actually for graduate school at the University of Washington. Intended to only stay for 2 years and then fell in love with Washington State. I love being outdoors. I love the people. I love just the food and the community and the vibe. Everything about this state, I totally fell in love with it. I lived in 9 states, and this is my favorite place by far. So I think I'll be here for a while.
You think you'll be here for a while? So where did you do your undergrad at?
I went to Purdue in Indiana.
Okay, so all I know about Purdue is that they're the Boilermakers and they play football. What type of school is Purdue? I seriously know nothing about it.
Yeah. I mean, it's a public state school, very well known for engineering, which is what I went to school for. Okay. But it's got a wide mix of students, both from Indiana and from across the broader country and internationally as well. It's a great school. Okay. I really liked it. Yeah. Okay.
And then what made you pick the UW for grad work?
I had a list of 10 schools that I was looking at. UW gave me full funding and also had a very flexible program. I was really, I went to school for English when I came out here and was really excited about just the way that the department was responsive to what learners wanted in their education and what learners wanted in partnering outside of the university, and supporting students and becoming very strong, confident academic scholars and not kind of fitting people into little boxes. So that's why I chose it ultimately. Yeah.
Cool. And so last question about you, backstory is what's your day gig? What do you do when you're not playing hockey or organizing hockey?
Yeah, I work at the University of Washington for the School of Social Work. I really like it. I do work with the public child welfare system to support training for social workers and foster parents and all of the IT infrastructure involved in that.
Oh, wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
So why hockey?
Hockey is the best thing. It supports my well-being in all of the positive ways. I initially started playing hockey when I finished grad school because I wanted to make friends and I wanted to be more active. I think most people who've been in grad school can relate, or really even a student at all, that you kind of get into this slump and it's hard to kind of navigate what life is going to look like when you graduate. And so I was feeling like I needed to be more social and I needed to make friends outside of school. And hockey was the best risk I've ever taken in that respect. And it's great to just get out and be active and play team sports. And hockey's got a community like no other sport I've ever played. So
your idea of making friends is to chase after them with a stick. Okay. I'm just making sure here. Okay.
With a purpose.
With a purpose. To make friends.
Yes.
Why? So, I mean, we've all heard of hockey, but I think in the Washington state, in the greater Seattle area, Seattle has had the Thunderbirds for a long time, and that's junior hockey. Mm-hmm. And it was really when the Kraken were announced as being selected, you know, the NHL selected Seattle for the team, and then the Kraken were announced, and then now they've had their first season. It seems like the Seattle area, and to some extent even the whole state, has become much more aware of hockey. Okay, but it's not, in my awareness, it's not that well known and not that well developed, maybe.
Sure. Yeah.
So what was that like for you when you decided, you know, you like you said, you took this risk. So where did you go to play hockey when you started this?
Yeah, I took an adult learn to play class, which I got to say is also something that a lot of sports don't do. They just kind of throw you out there with other people and hope you figure it out. But here, I took an adult learn to play class at Snow King Ice Arenas down in Renton. And I had a great experience. They suit you up with all the gear. They tell you how to put it on because I was a little clueless. And they teach you how to skate. I could skate okay. I lived in Minnesota for a long time. But learning to skate for hockey is very different than recreational ice skating as well. And so they teach you how to skate and they teach you how to stick handle a little bit, how to hold your hockey stick. I didn't even know if I was really like right-handed or left-handed when I picked up a stick for the first time. And they helped me figure it out. It was a great class. Yeah, made a lot of friends even just in that short 8 weeks, I think my learn to play class was.
So explain, size I was, she's, this is an audio experience, but I was about to spit my coffee out when I wasn't right-handed or left-handed. How'd you not know that? Are you right-handed or left-handed?
I'm right-handed. I am. Okay. But here's the thing about hockey that I think a lot of people don't know is that if you ever watch like NHL, you'll notice most Canadian-born players will shoot left-handed, which means that they hold their stick with their bottom hand is their left hand and their top hand is their right hand. Okay. And most American-born players don't do that. Most American-born players who are right-handed will shoot what's called right-handed with their right hand on the bottom. And your top hand is your control hand. And so it's the one that's really directing most of the motion. And then you're just kind of pushing through with your bottom hand when you take a shot. And so I knew that a lot of my friends who were right-handed still had a left-handed shot because in Minnesota, also, a lot of kids pick up hockey very young. But I didn't know what that was going to mean for me. I didn't know if I was going to shoot right-handed or left-handed. It took me a while to figure it out. I kind of played both ways with it. And I learned I can stick handle okay on my left side, but I really can't shoot left-handed at all. So I'm clearly a right-handed shot.
Okay.
I guess that's a true American in me.
All right. True American in you. Okay. I mean, see, it's just, the sheer entertainment factor of seeing me on skates would be hysterical for anyone in near the rink. Me trying to skate constructively seems completely impossible to me. So I too am like going, oh wait, and would I? Anyway, so I just think it's kind of funny. All right. So you took this learn to play, and how long did that last? Was it just one session or was this a 6 months or what was it?
It was 8 weeks, I believe, when I took it.
Okay.
I think most of them now are 8 to 12. Yeah.
8 weeks later, so you've done this now for 8 weeks. What was next? I mean, were you totally like jazz? Like, I'm having a blast playing hockey. The people here are cool. What hooked you, I guess, maybe is the way.
Oh, yeah. Yes, it was definitely the people. It was the game. I love ice skating, going super fast, and in a bunch of gear, you can crash into other people and not worry about hurting yourself. You can fall all you want to. You're not going to hurt yourself, honestly. So I definitely loved every part of it. And Snow King was great about having an entry-level league that they fed us all into. And so they come in like 2 weeks before the end to learn to play. And they're like, hey, you guys should think about this spring league that we're going to do. I started learning to play in January. And they were like, you know, we're going to bring a bunch of beginners like yourselves together and we're going to put you on a team and we promise that we will also send someone out there who knows the rules because we know that you don't all know all of the rules yet and you got to be in a game situation to figure it out. And so they have what's called an E-League in adult hockey. We have A, B, C, D, E, and A is like probably could have gone pro but didn't played like Div 1 college hockey, right?
Okay.
And E is like brand new beginners. And so they threw us all into an E-League together. We had a bunch of fun. That was I think 13-week season. And I just fell in love with the competitive nature of it, like semi-competitive. Like it's fun. You're out there. You're having fun. You're competing. But you're also, you know, it's just a game at the end of the day. You don't want to hurt yourself, so everybody's got to go to work in the morning. Right. So, yeah.
So what was the typical score of these beginners? Because what I have in my mind, is like first year little league where little Timmy's in left field not paying attention and, you know, and the chaos and pandemonium of hurting, and I know you weren't children, but hurting the kids around, or like watching little kids play soccer, it's just kind of comical. You were all adults, so there's probably more, you guys were paying attention. But what was the typical score?
Yeah, it's funny that you asked that, because we also compare ourselves to children all the time. We're like, man, these 8-year-olds play so much better than us. Like, and so I guess the other thing that's helpful in context for this is that it's hard to get new goalies. We really have a lot of trouble recruiting new goalies. And so even in our E-League, we had some experienced goalies. And so that did keep the score down a little bit. I may or may not have scored on my own goalie at one point in my second game. I think many of us have experienced that. But I would say that our typical score was probably like 8-6, like still pretty high, but it's also very common to see scores that are very low because you take a shot and it doesn't go anywhere near the net.
Well, I mean, I guess when I think about this, you say it's harder to find, you know, new goalies. Well, do you want to stand and let people smack a hard rubber object at you with a stick? I don't know. That doesn't sound like fun to me. I don't care how many pads you put on me. So why didn't you play goalie? Just out of curiosity. Did you ever try?
I've never tried goalie. I play defense. And so a lot of times, like, people get really interested in playing goalie usually about like 3 or 4 years in. People are like, oh, I'm going to check it out. My D partner just decided he wanted to play goalie last season. He's surprisingly good at it. But I think when you first start, it's definitely really intimidating. You're like, oh, people are just like whipping pucks at you.
Yeah.
And of course, you have a whole lot of gear. Like, it doesn't really hurt, you know? But I don't know if you've seen like the Mighty Ducks, but it's very much like that when you start and you're just like, don't hit me, and you're like ducking everywhere.
Well, because I mean, it's human nature. You know, something comes flying at you, you're not going to just stand there and let it hit you. I mean, you're going to duck, and at least I am. I'm going to duck and cover and put my hands over my head and cry. That's me. So, all right. This is kind of fun. This is just, I mean, it's all right. So then you go through your first season, 13-week season or so. Then what happened?
Well, then they graduate us into D-League, like the big kids, which is so funny because we're not much better after 13 weeks. But they're like, go play with people. You know, in D-League, it can be people who like even played as a kid, people who've played for like 10, 12 years play in D-League. And so skill set is very different than E-League. And we definitely got destroyed. Our first game was 15-2, I believe. But we had a lot of fun. And so, yeah, they just moved us up a league and we played against, we had a lot more teams to play against in E-League. There were only two. And so they wanted to give us some diversity in our schedule, help us learn the game a little better. So,
okay. Yeah. What brought you over to the Seattle Women's Hockey Club? Because that's what we're here to talk about today. So what got you there?
Yeah, I got really stoked about women's hockey about 2 years into playing hockey. Initially, what sold me on it was the practices. Seattle Women's Hockey Club does coached practices. Many women's leagues in Washington actually do coached practices, and that's not something that you find in general co-ed adult hockey. And so I was like, well, maybe I'll just go to practice and check it out. And just the people that I met at practice were great, and their approach to the game was really fun. It was very much a player development league in adult co-ed hockey. A lot of times what I found is you got a handful of people that are naturally athletic. They grew up playing different sports. Even if they're new to hockey, they pick it up really quick and they're really good. And the strategy of the game is like, get it to whoever, to Zach, right? And be like, he's really good.
Get it to LeBron.
Right, exactly.
Pass it to LeBron. Okay.
Exactly.
Everything, Michael Jordan, everything to Michael. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. And you don't see that in women's hockey. It very much is a more collaborative game. People are really focused on building up everyone's skill level. And I've really enjoyed that about women's hockey in our region. Yeah.
Okay. But I warned you that we'd go down rabbit holes. You just said something and I didn't realize it. So are you telling me that your E-League and D-League experience was co-ed?
It was, yeah. I was the only woman in my Learn to Play class, and I think in E-League there were three of us, yeah.
Okay, so you've stated before that you can fall down, you can't really get hurt, blah, blah, blah. You can get pucks hit, you can't get hurt, blah, blah, blah. For sake of conversation, how tall are you?
5'6".
Okay. And how tall was the average guy you were playing against, you know? 5'10", 6 foot, you know.
Probably about in there, yeah.
Yeah, bigger than you.
Yes.
So then more mass. How are you not getting hurt?
it's padding, you know, you wear gear. Also, like, honestly, when you're new, people don't know how to like use their weight in the same way to really like hurt you. They're also just kind of falling around everywhere. I did get a concussion during E-League though. And it was totally accidental. This guy tried to like wind up and take a shot. He ended up smacking me in the back of the head, giving me a concussion. He just like totally missed, right? Like, you're beginners. You don't know what you're doing. That was the only time I actually got injured. So
I shouldn't laugh that you got a concussion, but the way you just described it was kind of funny actually. All right. Okay. So you were playing co-ed and then so you started going to the Seattle women's and it's a coached practice. Mm-hmm. All right. What made you get so involved that you're the president? I mean, you're not just a participant now. You've actually gotten involved with the organization itself. Why? What was that for you?
I think the community at Seattle Women's Hockey Club has been so incredibly important to me in the last few years. I've made some of my best friends with Seattle Women's Hockey Club, and we do our best to really keep hockey affordable and to make our club accessible to anyone who wants to play and to be like an affirmative and affirming, welcoming environment for folks. Sometimes it is really hard in co-ed sports to feel like you belong or you're an equal part of the team as a woman. And we just really do our best to be good friends on and off the ice at Seattle Women's Hockey Club while still keeping a really competitive game going. So it was the community that really made me want to get involved and, you know, protect and support this club for years to come.
Nice. Okay. Well, so why don't you start telling us more about the club and how it's structured and how many teams there are and well, let's go. Let me direct you this way. Somebody wants to join. Somebody's interested. They're new on this journey. They got this. I think I want to go play hockey. Mm-hmm. Walk us through, say, their first time meeting, going to ultimately say, what's the highest level of competition that they could aspire to with this organization?
Absolutely. Yeah. Seattle Women's Hockey Club definitely prides itself on developing players from like never having stepped on the ice before to those who have played college hockey and are coming back and looking for an adult rec league to play in. So if someone is just starting out, we usually start with Give Hockey a Try, which is a free, like, try hockey free event that we do in May. You may have heard about it for the kids. We do it for women as well. And so you come out, we'll get you all geared up and help you put on your gear and take you out on the ice. And we can't teach you to skate in an hour, but we can help you move around the ice a little bit, stick handle a little bit. This year we tried doing some teaching people to take face-offs and feel like real hockey players. I think everybody had a ton of fun. We had a great turnout this year. We filled registration in 3 hours this year, which has never happened to us before. So we accidentally overfilled it and had 71 people out on the ice. We were only 71
people. I was going to ask that question. 71 people. Okay.
Yeah.
All I can envision is I'm putting myself into this. And you say you put people into a face-off so they could... who's holding me up so I can do this? Because I'm going to be falling down. I mean, somebody's going to have to, like, have a belt around me and holding me up so that I could, you know, and I'm like, so...
You know what, though? Even some NHL players will fall on the face-off if you watch them try to wrestle that puck away from the other center. Like,
I,
you know?
I don't even know if I could get out to the ice, the center ice, to do this. I mean, can we do this against the boards? Come on. So you had 71 people out on the rink. That had to be kind of pandemonium.
It was a little bit, but it was organized chaos. And I truly think everybody had a lot of fun. We broke people out into stations and we did some, if you ever watch like Might Hockey, like 8U, they're out there playing like half ice. And so we set people up in like half ice situations. And we did a little bit of basic skating and some other stations, and we just rotated people through. And we had an advanced player at each station helping people out, as well as one of our coaches.
So out of those 71, I don't know, you know the answer to this, but out of those 71 people, how many came back?
So the next step after Give Hockey a Try that we did in May is Learn to Play. And so we are very proud to offer the only female-only Learn to Play. And this is our first year doing it in many, many years. It's been hard for us to structure it in our off season and get the ice slots in our off season, but we know it's a need because co-ed learn to play is usually men's learn to play. And so out of the 71 people who did give hockey a try, I don't know exactly, but I think it was about 20 who signed up for learn to play. And we had a handful who were like, can I just start playing? Can you just put me on a team? We were like, we can, but we really recommend learn to play. So we definitely had some good interest in it.
Okay. That's actually very cool. We're talking and we were overlooked one piece here. So where are these events taking place?
Yeah, we play at the Kraken Practice Arena in Northgate, Kraken Community Iceplex.
So with that opening, that's made it easier for your club, your organization to find ice time?
It's made it easier for us to find reasonable ice times. Adult hockey tends to get kind of the bottom of the barrel ice times. And so they'll usually, other rinks will give us like the 10 p.m. on Wednesday ice slots, and that's tough, I think, for a lot of people. But yes, it's definitely made it easier for us to have reliable ice times. It's been nice that KCI put in 3 sheets, and so there's just more ice to go around. That's been helpful for Learn to Play. Snow King's been sponsoring us and hosting us there, which has been great as well. So
what time typically? So 10 p.m. on Wednesdays, you're right, that's probably a hard sell for a lot of people. What times are you guys getting ice these days?
So the Kraken have been great to us. We are able to have our first game at 6 o'clock on Saturdays. Fridays, I think our first game is at 7:30. So it's more manageable. This year we have 9 teams, and so we have 4 ice slots a week. And then next season we'll have 12 teams and we'll have 6 ice slots a week. So if our first one's at 6:30 or at 6, then it's 6, 7:30, and 9 o'clock, and then 7:30, 9, and then, of course, there is that 10:30 ice slot. But
you don't have to put it in somewhere. You don't have to do that every time to play.
Exactly.
I could suffer for one or two times a year versus every Wednesday at 10 would not sound real fun for a lot of us. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you've got the learn to play. They go through that. You said you have 9 teams. How are they distributed in from, let's say, beginner to advanced?
Yeah. So we have 3 beginner teams, 3 intermediate teams, and 3 advanced teams. And so if you've played only for a couple of years, you're probably going to play a beginner. But again, some people are athletically very talented. They progress a lot faster. And then intermediate is probably our broadest skill division. So we've got people who have been playing for 2 years, people who have been playing for 20 years, but are feeling, older and slower, things like that. And then advanced, we also have 3 teams. So right now we have equal divisions, 3 teams in each.
And approximately how many women are in each team?
This year we did 15. We also sold out registration very early this year, which we were not expecting. And so we went ahead and put 15 people on each roster, which is a lot for a hockey team. We're going to aim for 12 to 13 next year, I think, probably 13. But we wanted to give as many people the opportunity to play as we could this year.
So are these teams coached?
We don't have coaches for specific teams, but we do have 4 coaches for our league. And so we have league-wide practices. Next year, we're going to have tiered practices. So a novice lower intermediate practice and then an upper intermediate advanced practice. But we don't have it by team. We try to get people out and meeting other people in the club besides just their teammates.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Do the beginners ever play the intermediates do we co-mingle there? Do the beginners get to play against the advanced team to really be humiliated so with 3 teams in each league, somebody's always idle then.
That's true. We have had bye weeks this year. We're not going to have them next year, which we're also excited about. But yeah, with an odd number of teams, we do have 1 team that is not playing every week. So yes, we do have beginners play intermediate teams. We don't usually have beginners play advanced teams. We didn't do that this year. We have done it in the past sometimes when people have really asked for it. Tends to not go well, as you might expect.
Yeah, I can imagine that would
injuries
not.
Injuries also
would
go up. Yeah.
All right. Okay. One thing that I have no clue about, so I'll, we could bring again. Okay. What does it cost to play hockey?
Ooh, that is such a tough question right now, especially with the Kraken coming in and interest in hockey growing. The cost of hockey, which was already an expensive sport, is rising in our area, and that's been tough, and it's something that we're really hoping to work harder to address this next year for our club members. But our full season, so 24 games and weekly practices, is about $1,000. Okay. Which is comparable to most co-ed leagues where they don't get the practices. And so it's about $23 for each ice slot, which, yeah, it is low for the region, but is a lot for a lot of people. So
Right. Now, what about gear?
So if you want just like a full set of very low-end beginner gear, you can usually get on the ice for about $350.
That's not bad. Is that including skates?
Yes, but it's low-end skates. I would recommend probably spending $350 on a pair of skates once you're, you know, able to say, do that. You played for a while.
Pretty cheap.
Yeah, but so yeah, you can get low-end skates.
So how about in the gear that you're currently using? Ballpark, what would that cost?
Probably about $1,200.
About $1,200.
Including my stick and my skates, yeah. Okay. Sticks also get a little pricey as you go up. Yeah.
So why?
They're lighter and they're stronger. And so you get into, you know, stronger composite materials, get you a snappier shot and less likely to break your stick.
Yeah, that would suck, wouldn't it?
Oh, that happens a lot too. Yeah.
Does it? Okay.
Yeah, you got to take a shot and your stick snaps in half. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Are supplies available at the facility? I mean, like if we were playing and I broke a stick, can I go buy another stick or, you know, how does that, where are people getting their supplies?
Most rinks in the area do have a pro shop that carry a decent amount of supplies. The Kraken Community Iceplex actually does not. But there's also a Pure Hockey store that opened up this year, which is our first dedicated hockey shop in the area. And Played Again Sports in Linwood is really like the destination for hockey gear and has been here for a long time. They've got new and used gear. So that's been great. But yeah, most rinks have a pro shop.
Okay. And your teams, do they all have their own jerseys or are they just wearing whatever they want or how organized do you look when you take the ice?
Yeah, we wear club jerseys and so we have just dark and light jerseys. Everybody's got the same jerseys and that also allows us to move players from team to team and from level to level as they progress easily without incurring a bunch of additional financial costs. That is one of the hard things when you like move to a different team and you're like, "Oh, I got to get a whole new sweater set and everything," cuz that can run you $200 too easy.
So this, yeah, this is not an inexpensive sport, but it's, I mean, $23. I mean, you can go to Starbucks and spend almost that on a cup of coffee. So really it's not.
Absolutely. That's our goal. Just keep it manageable to the extent we can.
Right. So will these nine teams, will they ever go outside of your organization and play other women's teams elsewhere?
Absolutely. We started doing some of that last year. It's something that we've had high aspirations to do for a long time. And so we scheduled a ton of games last year with Rainier Women's Hockey League down in Tacoma. We scheduled some games with the UW Women's Club team, which started last year. We have traditionally done games against the Everett Ravens and Snohomish County Women's Hockey. And this year we're looking to kind of formalize that a bit and start a broader Washington State Women's Hockey League where we can do some more travel hockey.
Okay. Where would that, are you talking like Spokane? What other areas are you aware of?
Yeah, Spokane, Winthrop, Wenatchee, hopefully. Let's see, where else? Vancouver/Portland. We've been debating whether we want to try to involve Portland and Boise early on or whether we want to kind of get organized ourselves first because there's a big hockey community over there as well.
Because this is the Exploring Washington State podcast, you know, Oregon's dead to us, but no, just kidding. Boise, boy, that's a long drive though.
It is.
That one. Portland's pretty easy for most people. Boise. Yeah. How about going up to Canada? What about Vancouver, Victoria? Just out of curiosity.
Yeah, we send teams up there for tournaments, but mm-hmm. we don't regularly play them. Yeah.
Okay. So how many, you got 15 women a team. I got to do some math here. Boy, that's going to be scary. About 135 women, 145 women committed to playing hockey.
Yeah, we had 156 last year, including awesome. Some practice-only players. Yeah.
That's awesome. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. How big do you think it could get?
You know, we had
could
a
it double
list.
Or triple?
I think it okay. could. We had a wait list of 125 last year, and I know some people just stopped reaching out because they heard we were very full and there was no movement on our wait list. And so it really caught us by surprise. You've been sitting at a comfortable 90 to 120 players for a long time. Mm-hmm. And so to fill as quickly as we did and was really surprising for us, but we're really excited about it. So that's why we're expanding to 12 teams next year, but we know it probably still will not meet the demand in the area. So.
So when is the season?
We start in September and we run until May. So we'll be opening registration in August, probably around August 15th.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So that's a long time to be playing.
I mean, yeah.
That's a long season.
It's 24 games. We used to run 29 game seasons and people actually complained it was a little too long cutting into their summer. So we're trying to cut back a little bit.
Okay. Interesting. And you mentioned Winthrop's because... What is it about hockey that everyone wants to play outside? I mean, the NHL, what, you know, the NHL makes this big deal about having, you know, an outdoor game and, what's the big deal about it? I honestly don't understand why, what's the appeal there?
I think some of it is just nostalgia, but it's like the ice feels different. Honestly, like I get my skates cut differently to play outside. At Winthrop, you know, they have like an actual ice rink with boards and everything. But when I lived in Minnesota and other parts of the Midwest, we would play and there wouldn't be boards around the ice rink. We just have snow banks, right? And the ice is like a little bit rougher. Winthrop's ice is very nice and smooth. They sand it very nicely. But right. generally speaking, when you're outside playing like pond hockey, it's just, it's different. And You feel different. You feel freer. Winthrop's got a great backdrop. It's just a beautiful yeah. place to play
it,
hockey.
It is.
So,
yeah, Winthrop yeah. is. Yeah, that's. I mean, I get the scenic nature of it. I can totally see. But somehow the idea of, you know, playing in an ice arena where there's, you know, indoor plumbing and a concession stand sounds better to me than a pond.
I will say, but I am not. Sorry.
I'm not your target audience either.
Yeah, I would say out here, it doesn't get too cold. I laughed last year when the NHL had their outdoor game in Minneapolis in January. And I'm like, have y'all been to Minneapolis in January? And it was like 10 below and the players were like, we don't want to do this. They had to literally heat the ice to play hockey because it was too cold. I'm like, I don't miss that. I have zero desire to do that. But last time I played in Winthrop, it was, you know, 31 degrees somewhere in there and it okay. felt wonderful and I loved it. Every part about it was great.
So where's the coolest place you played hockey?
Probably Winthrop, honestly. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's where a great place to play.
Where do you want to play hockey? Is there a place that you're like, I want to go play hockey? I want to try that here.
I don't know. I really want to go to Alaska, actually. They have a pond hockey tournament every February. That seems really cool. And
okay, wait a second. Alaska, February, pond hockey.
I know.
Once again, are they heating the ice?
Well, theirs is... it's in Anchorage. It's not in Fairbanks. I want to go to Fairbanks in February. Some people do, but yeah.
Okay. So the club is a nonprofit club.
Yes.
What and that can be. I mean, this isn't a business episode, but you know, setting up a nonprofit's super easy. Nothing, you know, pain in the neck to do. Lots of paperwork, reporting, all that stuff. I understand that. But what's the goal of the club? What is the Seattle Women's Hockey Club? What's its overarching goal, and what's its future look like?
Yeah, our goal is to provide a affirming, welcoming space for women to play hockey and to make it affordable and accessible to anyone who wants to play and at whatever level that they want to play at.
Okay.
And as we look toward the future, we're really excited to expand opportunities and partnering with other leagues in the region and growing opportunities to play, especially at a higher level. While we do have some very advanced players in our club, I would say that overall we're really an intermediate level club, and we know that our advanced players would like some higher level competition. And we see a lot of that throughout our state, but it's spread out throughout the state. And so we want to do what we can to bring those players together and give them the competitive environment they're also looking for. And then we've also been working to do more work with college teams like UW's women's hockey team and reaching out to Eastern. Western, I believe, is starting a women's hockey team next year, and trying to get those students involved and thinking about recreational hockey in their future. And then also with the Washington Wild, which is a girls hockey league in our area, and doing some mentoring with the Washington Wild. So
Wow, first off, I have this blank look on my face because I didn't even know the University of Washington had a hockey team.
It's new this. Well, the women's hockey team is new this year. They've had men's hockey for a while. Yeah,
and I did not know that.
Yeah, it's a club team. So
okay, and I didn't know Eastern either. So that's interesting.
I don't know that they currently do, but they have off and on. So okay. We've just started talking with them about our broader league in the last couple of weeks. So
what's the age range here at the club? You know, is it, do you have to be 18? Are teens welcome, or is there any age restrictions?
Yeah. So you do have to be 18. Unfortunately, that's an insurance thing. We don't have a lot of control over. Again, back to this, nonprofits are fun, right?
Right.
And so you do have to be 18. We do have a number of 18-year-olds, including some still in high school. Definitely some current college students. And then we've got some people, I don't know how old our oldest player is, but we've definitely got players in their 70s. So yeah. Wow. A very wide age range.
So these players that are in their 70s,
mm-hmm.
What competitive level are they at?
I think it's a mix. I would say most of them are actually intermediate players who've played for a long time and mm-hmm. Definitely probably were once advanced players and now are feeling like intermediate is more their speed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I would... That's actually really impressive, though, when you think about, you know, being physically active in your 70s is something I think we should all, as I'm a guy who sits in a chair all day long, but, and I'm closer to 70 than you are by a long shot. But, you know, being physically active when you're older is awesome. I just think that, you know, brittle bones, getting hit. And I don't know that hockey would be where I would think I'd be doing something at 70.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you've now let's get into the, you know, just like, you know, everyone likes to watch NASCAR accidents. Nobody cares about the cars. They want to just see them crash. What sort of accidents, what sort of injuries have we seen? Is it, I mean, as I think a lot of people that don't know much about the sport probably envision, you know, missing teeth, blood from getting, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I don't think that's real. So what's a typical injury that you see commonly?
I would say knee injuries are maybe some of the most common, just like MCL or meniscus. Things like that are probably most common. We do have the occasional broken bone, the occasional concussion, things like that. We don't see a lot of blood on the ice. We don't get a lot of stitches. We're not usually out there, you know, throwing punches at each other or anything like that.
Okay. So Okay. What's, you know, you got hit by a guy with a stick, so you got a concussion.
It's true. I did. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Lucky you. But what, you know, when people are hurting their knees, typically what's happening? They get their skates caught with somebody else, or what's preceding the actual knee problem?
Yeah, it's a lot of that. Sometimes it's just like tripping over yourself and falling down and your knee goes the wrong way. I've done that as well. Yeah.
That would be me.
Yeah, or it's like, you know, you're trying to make a good defensive play and you're trying to like edge someone out and you fall together and then you end up like, you know, twisting your knee the wrong way. It's a lot of that. That's most of it, I think. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, and are your helmets with full face masks?
Yes. So for adult hockey, you can wear, you don't technically have to wear face protection, but we strongly encourage it. Some people do wear like half visors, and so it covers about down to their nose. But I would say the vast majority of our players do wear full face masks, or what we call bubbles, so a full like face shield. Yeah.
Are you wearing mouth guards?
Most of our players don't. They're not required for adults. I would say maybe a third of our players wear mouth guards.
Okay. So basically, you've got your skates on, the pants have pads in them, right?
Oh, thigh
pads.
Yeah.
So for those of us that don't really know, let's go back to the gear.
Yeah.
Walk me through what's different about a hockey skate versus, you know, if I go down to the local ice rink and rent skates for a Friday evening skate, what's the difference?
So a lot of rental skates, some rinks now have separate like hockey rental skates, but generally a lot of rental skates will have toe picks on them that are more similar to figure skates, or like the curvature of the blade is different, like the profile. And so that just means that you glide differently on the ice. The way that you propel yourself forward gets you a different motion. And they're often just cut very different, like the radius, how sharp there's two edges on a hockey skate. You got your inside edge, your outside edge, and the radius separating them is often, rental skates don't get sharpened very often. So, yeah.
So are you sharpening your skates or do you take them somewhere?
I take my skates into the pro shop to get sharpened. Some people buy skate sharpeners.
And so what is that? How often are you doing that and what does that cost you?
So I would say I also, now that I've gotten better skates with better steel, I don't have to get my skates cut as often as I used to. I used to go in probably every 6 hours of ice time, and now I'm probably every 3 months I get my skates cut now. So that's probably, I have to do some math. About 70 hours of ice time I can probably go now without getting them cut. Yeah.
And what does that cost to have them done?
It's not bad. It's like $10, $15, depending on where you go. Yeah.
And do the blades, do they ever wear out? Like you have to replace them?
They
do. Because you can only sharpen them so many times, right?
And then absolutely. You gotta replace.
Okay.
Yeah. It takes a while to wear out your blades. Most skates above like the very entry level will come with interchangeable blades. So you can just swap them out without having to replace the skate or anything. So yeah, I would say my last ones lasted like 5 years, 6 years.
Okay.
5 years, right. I think. Yeah.
So then moving up, then the pants or whatever they're officially called, pads at the thigh level, where else?
So we wear shin guards, so from the knee down. Okay. And then we wear, pants. So they go like from your knees to your hips, and then most of them will have some spine protection in the back for your lumbar spine. Mm-hmm. And then we wear shoulder pads. Shoulder pads are also optional, but I literally don't know anyone who doesn't wear shoulder pads in our league. I personally don't know why you wouldn't. Some people think that it's harder to move, but I would just rather have them. So shoulder pads. And then they also offer some chest protection, especially for women. I do not know why you would choose not to wear shoulder pads, but I guess some people make that choice. I don't know. They also offer some spinal protection. And then you've got elbow pads, gloves, which are very important because you get hit on the hand a lot, both by sticks and by pucks. So a good pair of gloves is strongly worth investing in.
And are those helmet. Leather? Are the gloves leather typically, or what are they made of?
Yeah, you get leather gloves, or I don't know, mine are some blend of something newfangled. I don't know.
Newfangled? All right. Yeah, that's true. And the helmets are, like, what's your helmet made out of?
You know, I don't know the answer to that. That's a great question. I'm not sure.
You know, and does it have, like, pads that can be taken out? Like, the helmet itself's a hard shell. Then it's... lights are flickering, sorry. Pads on the inside, are those can you take those out, or what's the inside of the helmet like?
Yeah, it's padding that I guess kind of looks like styrofoam, but I'm sure is something much fancier than styrofoam.
We hope.
Personally, I look at the concussion ratings. Virginia Tech publishes concussion ratings for all hockey helmets, and so I do look at those before I buy a helmet. Surprisingly, sometimes it's the low-end helmets that perform better in concussion risks. So,
because they're probably heavier and you know, they're not.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Definitely as you go up in price, helmets get lighter. Right. And so, yeah, probably some weight will help you with some structure.
Or the beginner helmet looks like, you know, it's like giant thing around your head, like a sombrero versus little. Yeah,
anyway. Yeah, low profile. But yeah, helmets last about 5 years. Technically, they expire. Again, in adult hockey, they don't hold you to the expiration dates, but definitely recommend replacing your helmet if you get a concussion or take a hard hit. Or if it's been 4 or 5 years, I would replace my helmet. Yeah.
Okay. So this is interesting to me that this is, you know, and it all makes sense when you say it, but it's still interesting because I hadn't thought about it in these terms. These protective elements wear out.
They do.
The more contact that helmet has, or, you know, your skates, the blades are going to wear out, your stick's going to fatigue. It's interesting, you know, that you're just not going to keep using the same skates and blades for 20 years. You know, you're just, mm-hmm. you're just not. Okay.
Some people do. You definitely see people who have the same pair of skates they had when they were 16. I'm like, I don't know how you do that, but some people do. Yeah.
Okay. All right. So your goal for the organization is you want to continue to expand the footprint of women's hockey throughout Washington State.
Mm-hmm.
And make it more accessible to more and more women.
Yeah.
What is the organization capable of doing, trying to do to make it, you mentioned making it affordable.
Mm-hmm.
How can you make it affordable? Because ice time's still going to cost X, gear is still going to be X. How can you help make it affordable?
Yeah. So it is a hard question, right? In a lot of ways, because a lot of our costs are fixed and we're not part of any specific rink. Like, we play at the Kraken Community Iceplex, but we're not part of the Kraken organization, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to pay the same ice costs as everybody else. And we're kind of subject to the terms of whatever the ice rink wants to give us every year. Right. And so we don't have a lot of flexibility in that, but we can do things like we've started offering a gear rental program. We accept a lot of gear donations so that we can offer our gear rental program. We've worked with some hockey suppliers, like hockey gear suppliers, to start building sponsorships and get some deals for our members on gear. And to also help give us some financial support so we can offer some dues breaks to our members as well. We're hoping to start a scholarship program this year. We weren't able to do it last year, but we're in a better place this year. We do a lot of fundraising as a club. It's really funny, you know, again, comparing ourselves to kids. Sometimes we have our bake sales every year, you know, we try to do things like that just to try to, you know, give people some cushion on their dues, because it does get really expensive. And again, like, there are definitely members in our club who have plenty of ability to pay, and there are members in our club who really do not. And we try to make sure that, you know, we can even it out when possible and try to, yeah, make it accessible for anyone who wants to. Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome. So when you're not playing hockey,
mm-hmm.
and when you're not working,
mm-hmm.
and you're not sleeping,
yeah.
what do you like to do for fun and excitement around the Seattle area?
I've been trying to get more into mountain biking since I moved out here. Things that I feel like a lot of people in Washington do: mountain biking, snowboarding, hiking, backpacking, you know, trying to get outdoors more. I feel like, especially with the work I do, and now that I'm working from home, I'm just like in my house all day, and I need to, like, you know, hockey also here is largely an indoor sport. So I feel like I need to get outside and do something. Yeah.
So where do you like to go mountain biking?
I really like going just to St. Ed's is the closest place to my house. They've got some nice chill trails that are fun. I like going up to Tiger like everybody else. Sometimes there's too many people at Tiger for me. I try to stay away from there. And then I like going out to Leavenworth a lot. Leavenworth has some amazing trails. Yeah.
Have you ever gone up to Stevens and taken the bike, put your bike on a lift?
I have. So I guess I'm just a risk taker by nature. My very first summer mountain biking, there was this organization, She Jumps, that had an event where they were like, oh yeah, you get lift passes for $20. And I was like, cool, I'll do that. And I just took my little entry-level hardtail mountain bike and decided I was going to go up to Stevens and take some of these trails. And it was an adventure, let me tell you. I had a ton of fun and also learned that there is a reason that downhill bikes exist.
Did you get a concussion there too?
I did not get a concussion. I truly did not. I did fall off my bike and get some really bad road rash at one point, but no concussions. This is why they make helmets, right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, sure. Oh my gosh. Yeah, you just seem kind of like that thrill seeking adrenaline junkie. You wanna go fast, whether it be on ice or on wheels, and downhill's preferred if you're doing it on wheels. Okay.
Yeah, right. Like those ones that I can control, right? Like roller coasters make me so nervous because I'm just like, I guess I'm going where this machine's gonna take me. But you know, when I'm mountain biking or when I'm ice skating, I can control the speed and all for it.
So here's a contrast.
Sure.
You're like, okay, I'm going to go where this machine is taking me. All right. You're right. That's a true statement. And I'm going, well, that machine is going to do a better job of making me than me doing it. So I'm like, I'll take the machine, please. Versus, I don't trust myself to make a smart choice here. I'll run into that tree. I know I will.
Yeah, I don't know. One would think like having an engineering degree would make me trust engineers, but yeah, maybe not. I don't know.
Did my classmate? Oh, yeah. Bill designed. Yeah, I'm not going anywhere near anything. Bill made. Forget it. Never mind. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's so fun. I always ask this question. Are you a coffee drinker?
I am. Yeah.
All right. It's going to be tough for you because you live in the Seattle area, but I need you to tell me a great place to get coffee that I probably haven't been to.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know where you've been, right? I would say right, one so place.
Okay, go ahead. So let's see, and I'll tell you if I've been there.
Yeah, I would say one place that I really like is called Visible Coffee Roasters in Kirkland, and they just have like a chill vibe. They have really good coffee. Everybody's super nice. The Wi-Fi is very reliable, and the atmosphere is just great, and it's usually not super packed. So I love to just go in there
not,
and hang out.
I have not been there. I've heard of it. I have not been there.
Highly recommend.
I love that you added the second most important thing about a good cup of coffee, and that is strong Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Seriously. I mean, it's like I drink black coffee. Like mm-hmm. Some people like, I want a latte. Okay. So I drink black coffee. You know, some people like to put cream and sugar in it. I want black coffee and Wi-Fi.
Absolutely.
That's the power combo right there. Black coffee and Wi-Fi. And I'm like, thumbs up.
Mm-hmm.
All right. What didn't I ask you that I should have asked you?
Oh gosh, I don't know. Maybe just like what? I feel like maybe you kind of asked me this, and maybe I just didn't answer the question well. Maybe that's on me. I don't know. But one thing that I'm thinking about is like what we're doing to try to bring other women's teams together, in addition to just this broader league. And one thing that we've done that we did last year that was a huge success was we offered a women's tournament, and there aren't a lot of women's tournaments in Washington State, or even in the broader Pacific Northwest. There are a few, don't get me wrong. But we offered a team-based tournament. A lot of the women's tournaments that exist are also draft tournaments. And so you just show up and they put you on a team, which is fun. But it's different than getting to play with a group of people that you've played with for a long time and love. Right. And so we called it Puck Place Market, and we had 18 teams show up from all over the place, from like San Jose, from Montana, from all over the place. We had a great turnout, and I feel kind of bad because the rink was hosting another tournament at the same time, and we totally overshadowed them. They were like, what is this other tournament? Everybody came in, and they were all asking about our tournament. There were female players who came in for the other tournament. They were like, I want to play in your tournament. And so we had a ton of fun. We're definitely hoping to do it again this year. Again, because of the expansion in ice times that the Kraken brought in, that's really the only reason we were able to offer our tournament this year. And so we're excited to hopefully be able to continue to do that. But it was really great and really encouraging to see teams from so many different levels. I mean, some of these teams brought in people who were like previous Olympians, like literally. And some people who this was like their first tournament ever. And so it was really exciting just to see like that huge skill differential and how much fun everybody had. And to get to network with the broader women's hockey community.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool that you're doing that. Well, I know something. We talked about this pre-show. Mm-hmm. Can the public come and watch?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Our games are at the Kraken Community Iceplex, and so it's easy to just walk in. There's no admission fee for our games. We do have some spectators for every game, and it's a cool vibe, and the Kraken do sell concessions and everything. So there's bleachers. You can come in and chill, watch a game. It's a good way to hang out. Also, you can see our games from the bar upstairs if that's your vibe too. So,
yeah. Okay. All right. I like how you said you could chill at a nice drink. Sorry.
It's funny. I do say things like that. And I don't even think about them anymore. They're so like built into my vocabulary now. Like I'll say things like hockey's the coolest game on earth. And I don't even think about it anymore.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, do you follow hockey? Do you follow professional hockey?
Oh, sometimes. I definitely follow more college hockey than professional hockey, but I guess I'm a Minnesota Wild fan.
Okay, so who do you root for in the college?
University of Minnesota, usually University of Minnesota Duluth, but even Maine University of Minnesota campus. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And then as we wrap this up, where can people find out more about the organization?
Yeah, I would say go to our website. We're at SWHC, so for Seattle Women's Hockey Club.org.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to chat with me today. This sounds like a lot of fun. Not for me personally. You're not going to see me on the ice anytime soon.
I don't know, Scott. You should try it.
No. I have ice skated in the past, and some things are best left in the past. How's that?
I respect but you no, knowing I'm, that about yourself.
Yeah, but I am finding it fun to find out more about these. What's the right word I want to use? Because I'm going to say lower tier, and I don't mean that in a dismissive way, but these more grassroots tiers. Okay, yeah, maybe that's a fair way of saying. I'm finding it fascinating to talk to people who are doing a lot of work to keep things organized so that other people can enjoy the activity, whether it be hockey or soccer or baseball or football or whatever. And I think it's really cool. And you guys should be commended for taking the effort, because this is no small amount of work for you guys. It's a lot of work to organize keep an organization running. It's a lot of work to run a calendar.
Yeah.
It's a lot of work. And versus just showing up at Wednesday nights at 10 o'clock to play hockey.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's the easy part.
We're volunteer run, so it's a lot of work.
Yeah. How many people, how many people are running this organization?
We currently have 9 board members. So,
okay.
Yeah. And it's all,
and is that it?
Sorry.
Is that enough?
Ooh, is that enough? That's a great question. We were hoping to get 12 this year, but we have 9, and 9 will do it. It just means that we have to be a little bit choosy on where we spend our time and energy, and some of our initiatives then get pushed on to the next year, but it will definitely keep our essentials running for sure. We can do it with 5 probably, but it's a lot easier when we have a few more.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, just so somebody else can take the load off of your plate if you're having a busy week. Project at work type thing or things like that. So, all right.
Yeah.
We'll put links in the show notes to where people can find too. So we'll share that. I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks a lot. This is a lot of fun. And I hope people get out and first off, people in the Seattle area probably are interested in seeing what the Kraken Multiplex looks like. This is a great opportunity to go check it out, especially if it's free.
Yeah. It's a great rink. Come check it out. Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome. All right. Well, thanks for being here.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. A ton of fun.
Join us next time for another episode of the Exploring Washington State Podcast.